You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Thank you so much. We're so happy to have Dad and Mom back in town. Give them a hand. It's such a blessing to be connected. It's in our connection, it's in our relationship with one another that we find the greatest treasures that can be found. And so we celebrate relationships in this house. We celebrate our relationship with God first and foremost. And we celebrate the relationships that God brings into our lives, because those enrich us and those enable us to fulfill our purpose. So we welcome you if it's your first time. We hope you're not overwhelmed, but we hope that you are thoroughly impressed by the Spirit of the Lord. We don't seek to impress you by our music or our being flashy, but we want to show you, present to you, introduce you to the presence of God. And so we thank God for being with us here. How many people have been watching the Olympics? I don't even know where to begin. There's so many things. You know, I could say Michael Phelps. I could say Usain Bolt. I could say Simone Biles. I could say other things. We'll just leave that there. It's hard to keep up with everything, but how many people are done with their school shopping? Done with your school shopping? I tell you what, some people are repenting of how much money they spent for their school shopping, but we're almost there, parents. We are almost there. Just want to encourage you. My wife this week, one week, she was excited. The next day, she was crying. The next day, she was excited again. The next day, crying again. Mothers, I just take my hats off to you. I don't even know what you guys go through, but thank God for you. Let's put our hands together for all the mothers. Amen. We're talking about justice in an unjust world. There are so many things that we can turn the news on. We can turn the television on. We can look at our news feeds. We can look at our cell phones. We can see that there are things that are out of place. We can see that there are things that aren't right. So we look to the Bible because the Word of God has answers. How many believe that? And we're looking at the story of Joseph because there's so many things that can be said about overcoming injustice in Joseph's story. So I want to ask you, go with me here to Genesis 37. We read about half of the chapter last week when we began the story of Joseph. But I really believe this is such an on-time word that God has for his people. No matter what the enemy puts on you, no matter the injustice that the world may place on you, God's goodness so far outweighs that. So let's look here, Genesis 37:12. We first were introduced to Joseph. He's in a hateful environment. His half brothers hate him. He tells them his dreams. They hate him more. He tells them a second dream. They hate him even more. He had brought a bad report to the father about the half-brothers. They hated him again. So there's a lot of negativity. There's a lot of animosity here in this environment. And so We're starting the story here, picking up the story here in verse 12. Soon after Joseph's brothers went to pasture their father's flocks at Shechem, they had been gone for some time, and Jacob says to Joseph, "Your brothers are pasturing the sheep at Shechem. Get ready, and I'll send you to them." "I'm ready to go," Joseph replied. "Go and see your brothers and the flocks, how they're getting along," Jacob said. "Then come back and bring me a report." Somebody say, "a report."
"A report."
So Jacob sent him on his way, and Joseph traveled to Shechem from their home in the valley of Hebron. You know, there's so much to be said about a report. Whose report will you believe? There are people that are bringing reports all the time, and it's important what type of report is in your mouth. Can I tell you that? You must be aware of the report that's in your mouth. Because Joseph had brought a negative report before with his brothers and caused more animosity. He caused more complications in their relationship because he brought a negative report. A negative report can burn bridges. It can destroy relationships. It can mess up your work environment. Listen. Joseph, it messed up his work environment with his brothers. It said previously that he was going to work with his brothers. He was working for his brothers, some translations say. So once he brought the negative report, he wasn't even able to have the same job that he had before. Can I tell you that if you bring the wrong report, you entertain the wrong things in your mind, and what comes out of your mouth is the wrong report, guess what? It can mess up your job situation. It can mess up relationships around you. It can complicate your environment. So this happens to Joseph. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Life and death can come via a report. So Joseph wasn't able to do the same job he was doing before because he brought a negative report. Now his dad had to find a different job for him.
Right.
Use wisdom. Be a good worker. And God will promote you.
Yes, he will.
People with a bad report, it's difficult for them to get a job or keep a job because they keep on messing up the environment they're in by bringing a bad report. Dad had to find him another job. So he tells him, "Okay, your new job is going and check your brothers out." This was a poor second job idea because you brought a negative report and messed your job up before. Now I'm going to give you a job. I'm going to give you quality control where you're going to go out and you're going to bring me a report. I think he's kind of set up here a little bit. So verse 15, he arrives there, and a man from the area noticed he's wandering around the countryside. "Oh, what are you looking for?" he asked. "I'm looking for my brothers," Joseph replied. "Do you know where they are pasturing their sheep?" "Yes," the man told him. "They have moved on from here, but I heard them say, 'Let's go to Dothan.'" So Joseph followed his brothers to Dothan and found them there. You know, everybody's looking for something. Some people are just better at finding it than others. It says Joseph is looking around the countryside until a man finally says, "Hey, what are you looking for?" You know, there's the type of people that walk around in the store and they just walk around aimlessly looking for stuff. And then there's people that come up and say, "Hey, listen, can you help me find the noodles?
That's right.
Can you help me find the stuff that my wife sent me to the grocery store to find? Because evidently, I do not know what aisle it's on." So he's wandering around the pasture. Not knowing what you're looking for will get you into trouble. Joseph wasn't clear exactly what he was looking for. He's wandering around, and that's oftentimes something that gets you into trouble. The path of your purpose, when you're on your path, you have to know what you're looking for. Pray about it, and then have your eyes open. Three places that Joseph went. Write it down. Three places that Joseph went. He starts off in Hebron. He goes to Shechem, and then he ends up in Dothan. Can we break down these places? Because Hebron is the starting place. Hebron is the place that Abraham settled in. It's home base. This is the place of authority. It's the place of authority and refuge. His father lived here. This is a place of safety. As long as he was in Hebron, he was safe. He was connected with authority. Hebron. Hebron is also the place that David first ruled for the first 7 years of his reign. So this is a place of authority and refuge. Number two, Shechem. He goes to Shechem. He's wandering around. He doesn't know what he's looking for. But he has something in his favor because Shechem is a place of promise and justice. It's a place of promise and justice. This Shechem is the place where Abraham received the dream about his legacy. Shechem is the place of promise. Shechem is also the place that Joseph's half-brothers took revenge or took justice on the mistreatment of their sister. But the problem comes when he gets off course and he's not at Shechem anymore. He goes to Dothan. Dothan is the place of injustice and ambush. Listen. Dothan is the same place that Elijah lived when he was ambushed by the king of Assyria with the armies. Dothan, we have to stay in position. Dothan was just 100 kilometers difference between Shechem and Dothan, right? 100 kilometers, 62 miles. The difference between freedom and slavery for Joseph was 100 kilometers. Being out of position will enslave you circumstantially. Listen, being out of position on your path to promise will enslave you in circumstance. So Genesis 37:18, let's continue. When Joseph's brothers saw him coming, they recognized him at a distance, probably because he has this very unique robe, right? As he approaches, they made plans to kill him. "Here comes the dreamer," they said. "Come on, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns. We can tell our father a wild animal has eaten him. Then we'll see what becomes of his dreams." Somebody say dreams. You got to watch out for dream killers. Enemy's going to make sure there's plenty of them in your life. Joseph had 10. Who's after your dream? Can I tell you something? The enemy is always after your dream. Why? Because you don't even have to die. If your dream dies, you're as good as dead. If the devil can kill your dream, he's killed your hope. He's killed your motivation. He's killed your purpose. You're just walking around like a zombie because you don't have a dream. So the enemy has implanted people to sabotage the dream of God on your life. Come on, watch out, Josephs. Watch out, people of God that have purpose on your life. Listen to me. There's people that the enemy has supplanted in your life to try to sabotage your purpose. Half-brothers are after your dreams. The devil doesn't have to kill you if he just kills your dream. Listen, if you hang out with dream killers, be prepared to lose in a big way. If you're hanging out with dream killers, be prepared to lose. The Bible talks to us about we're not warring against flesh and blood, but against spiritual enemies. Let me tell you something. There's forces at work in the spirit that have been plotting the killing of your dream for years. They've been plotting it for decades. There's forces at work that have been looking at how to, they got blueprints. They got plans. They got resources. They got assets in play. We're watching Born Identity. They got assets. They're calling in the hit squad trying to kill your dream. You got to be alert. You got to be prayed up. Because if the devil can kill your dream, he's killed you. Genesis 37:21. But when Reuben heard their scheme, he came to Joseph's rescue. Let's not kill him, he said. Why should we shed any blood? Let's just throw him into the empty cistern here in the wilderness. Then he'll die without our laying a hand on him. But Reuben was secretly planning to rescue Joseph and return him to his father. Listen, partial justice is not justice at all. You cannot show up and be a day late and dollar short. Justice knows when to act. The problem here is Reuben, who was the firstborn, should have been a man of authority and courage and stood up for what was right. They should have said no. He should have said no, brothers, this is not the way to do it. I know you're upset at him. I know you're angry with him. I know some of you hate him, but this is not the right way. It was Reuben's responsibility as the oldest son to stand up and say, this isn't right. This is not justice. Either you stand up for what's right when it's time to stand up, or you completely miss your window. Justice is like that. Many times justice is time sensitive. Yes. Reuben had an opportunity here to stand up and do what was just. Genesis 37:23 says, so when Joseph arrived, his brothers ripped off. Say it with me. Ripped off. The beautiful robe he was wearing. And then they grabbed him and threw him into the cistern. Now the cistern was empty. There was no water in it. The enemy is the enemy of authority. The enemy is the enemy of authority. Look what they did the first thing when they came to him. They stripped him of his authority. They stripped him of his position. The word of God that had came to him through his father to put the robe of authority on him was ripped off of him. Can I tell you that the enemy is innately rebellious? It wants to strip the authority that God has given you. The enemy wants to strip you of your potential and your position. And sometimes they may even succeed for a season. Say it with me, for a season. You have to remember that. It's for a season. In the journey to your purpose, you'll have moments that just like Joseph, you'll feel trapped. In the cistern, he felt isolated. He felt disconnected. How many people have ever felt like that? No matter what you feel like, you're never alone. God promised us he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Even in the valley of the shadow of death. What does it say? Psalm 23. I will fear no evil because you are with me. Right? He's with us even in those moments when we feel disconnected and isolated. Can I tell you today, take faith. God is there and God is bringing people into your life if they're not already there to stand with you. Genesis 37:25 says, then just as they were sitting down to eat, they looked up and saw a caravan of camels in the distance coming towards them. It was a group of Ishmaelite traders that were taking a load of gum, balm, and aromatic resin from Gilead down to Egypt. Now, let me tell you something. Abraham had who? Ishmael and Isaac. Abraham had Ishmael and Isaac. These men were Joseph's distant relatives. How much injustice is this that his half-brothers sell him to his distant relatives so that he can be enslaved? Let me tell you something. People that are half committed to you, half-brothers, and people that are distantly connected to you, distantly connected and committed to you, are some of the people that will sell you out the most. So Judah said to his brothers, What will we gain by killing our brother? We'd have to cover up the crime. And instead of hurting him, let's sell him to the Ishmaelite traders. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood. His brothers agreed. So when the Ishmaelites, who were Midianite traders, came, Joseph's brothers pulled him out of the cistern and sold him to them for 20 pieces of silver. Now, I could preach this too, but I'm not going to preach it. 20 pieces of silver, 30 pieces of silver. Joseph, there's always somebody around you that's going to look to sell you out. And oftentimes it's the closest people to you. And the traders took him to Egypt. I want you to know this. They're sitting down. Joseph's isolated. He's in the cistern. And the brothers sit down to eat. There will be moments in your life when things are not fair. On the pathway to your purpose, there will be moments when others are feasting while injustice is being done to you. There will be seasons that don't seem fair because they're not fair. Many people in the Bible have asked the question, why do the wicked prosper? Today, we ask the same question. Why do the wicked prosper? Why do people that they don't have ethics? Why do people that are doing things wrong? Why are people that are cheating and lying and oppressing people? Why are they prospering? Why is this injustice happening? It's true, but listen. Sometimes for a season the wicked does prosper. Somebody say for a season. Sometimes they're going to have their cake and they're going to eat it too in your face. But if you stay on the path that God has given you, in the end, you will be seated at His table. Listen to this. It's not about who's eating along the way. I don't care about your picnic basket. I care about the feast that God is preparing. I care about who's been invited to pull up a chair at His table. And I want to tell you that the table of Joseph looked much different than the meal that was prepared while he was in the cistern. And I want to tell you, people that are around you that are celebrating while you are done unjustly, your time is coming at the Lord's table. Your moment's coming. David said in Psalm 23, He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Woo! And I will dwell right here in His presence. Don't be put off by when people are having their pieces of success in front of you, when you're overlooked, when you've been mistreated. Success and happiness in this world is temporal and quickly fading, but the success that you have been prepared for, if you stay resolute on the course God has given you, nobody can take that away from you. Not 10 brothers, not 12 brothers, not 30 brothers. No amount of half brothers can take away the promises of God for your life. So we just watch out for, the Bible says, mark those among you who are half brothers, who are distant relatives. Because someone that is only half committed to you, or committed to you at a distance, can be very dangerous. The people that I trust are people that are not afraid to fully commit to me. And I, in turn, will fully commit to them. Because God is a fully committed God. God doesn't half commit to you. God doesn't half commit to me. God doesn't do half committed. God is all the way in. Right? God doesn't do lukewarm. God does all the way. And God is committed to you, and God is committed to his purposes and plans for your life. That's what covenant looks like. That's what spiritual family, true spiritual family, looks like. And that's the type of community that God wants to build here at Hope. Is being committed to one another. Committed to God and committed to one another. That's what community is. I heard a story. One of our beautiful moms here told a story last week and said, when I didn't have money to buy school supplies, one of the other families from the church took me and bought me $500 of school supplies for my daughter when I didn't have it. That's the community of God. That's the community of God. That's what it looks like to be committed to each other. There's a difference here. I want you to think about what Judas said to his brothers. Look, let's not kill him. Let's just throw him into the cistern. Let's just sell him to the traitors. Can I tell you, there's a difference between God's justice and man's justice. The brothers were feeling that they had been done unjustly, that they weren't loved the same way by the father. They were feeling that they had been overlooked and that Joseph had special treatment. But let me tell you something, their version of justice wasn't really justice at all. Man's justice is different than God's justice. When we go about doing justice man's way, we only cause more hurt and pain, confusion, frustration. Joseph's brother's idea of justice was to sell Joseph into slavery. Many times man's justice looks like revenge. Take note of this. Revenge is different than justice. When people are popping up and saying this is the solution to injustice, revenge is not the solution to injustice. Revenge doesn't fix anything. The Bible tells us about revenge that it's never satisfied. The one side takes revenge, and then as soon as the other side gets strong enough, it's going to take revenge back. And we can look into the Middle East and we can see that play out. Revenge is never satisfied. Romans 12:19 says, dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay back, says the Lord. We always have to check our heart. We're talking about in foundation class this morning about checking our heart. But we have to check our heart and ask, am I seeking God's justice or am I just seeking revenge? Genesis 37:29 says, sometime later, Reuben returns, a day late and a dollar short, to get Joseph out of the cistern. When he discovers that Joseph is missing, he tore his clothes in grief. Then he went back to his brothers and lamented, the boy is gone. What will I do now? Because he knew responsibility was going to fall on him. Because he was supposed to be the authority. He was supposed to be the man of justice. Then the brothers killed a young goat and dipped Joseph's robe in it. And they sent the beautiful robe to their father with this message. Look what we found. Doesn't this robe belong to your son? Their father recognized it immediately. Yes, he said, it is my son's robe. A wild animal must have eaten him. Joseph has clearly been torn to pieces. Then Jacob tore his clothes and dressed himself in burlap. He mourned deeply for his son for a long time. His family all tried to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. I will go to my grave mourning for my son, he would say, and then he would weep. This is so important. When you don't have discernment active in your life, you're going to listen to the wrong report. When you don't have discernment active, I'm not saying that it hasn't been active previously in your life or you hadn't been on point before in the past, but if you're not currently active in discernment, you're going to listen to the wrong reports and take the wrong path. if the spirit of discernment would have been active upon Jacob in this moment, he would have said, wait a second, something seems kind of off. Right. You guys have had an issue with him, right?
Right?
And now he's missing. We have to stay prayed up so that when we hear a report, we can take it through this spiritual filter.
That's right?
Right? When we hear reports, and I'm talking to you, business people, I'm talking to you, educators, when you're out there in the marketplace, when you're out there where God has assigned you, use your discernment, because people are counting on you to be people of wisdom, people of justice, that when you hear a report, you're taking it through this filter, the spiritual filter called discernment. Misreading what's going on in your life can cause so much heartache. It's not just a Bible story. This happens in our world all the time. You see the parents that the kids are running game on their parents.
That's right.
They're lying to their parents, and discernment is not active in the parent's life. It is sad when someone is in any position of authority and does not use discernment. Can I tell you, whatever it is, whatever your assignment is, whether you're a leader, whether you're a leader in training, whether you're someone in the marketplace, where you're whatever position God has entrusted you with, people are depending upon you having discernment active in your life. The first mark of Christian maturity is discernment. Believers need to be discerners. Your kids need it. Your family needs it. Your spouse needs it. Your friend needs it. Your co-workers need it. Your workplace needs it. And can we talk about the other side? Say you're in the position of the brothers, that the brothers were in. They did something wrong. Can I tell you, if you haven't done the right thing, lying only compounds the problem. Be a person of justice. When you fall short, repent, ask for forgiveness, and move forward. Great leaders know how to acknowledge their faults. The sooner that we acknowledge faults, the sooner that we can move forward. Injustice is not so easily swept underneath the rug. Can I tell you that? Can I comfort you with that? Injustices in the world today, let me tell you something, they will come to light. They will be addressed. It's going to happen. As long as God is on the throne, justice will be served. Justice will be served. Justice will prevail. The Bible says sooner or later your sins will find you out. Listen, the Bible also says what's done in secret will be shouted from the rooftop. If an injustice has occurred, be sure it will be rectified. When we see people like Joseph, he receives the report and he is inconsolable.
Right.
When we see someone like Jacob that is inconsolable, we have to say this person does not know the justice of God. Because the justice of God says, even though I grieve, I know there is justice. And justice will be served. When we trust in the justice of God, when we trust, listen, when we trust in the justice of God, we don't weep the way others weep. We don't grieve the way other people grieve. We are not inconsolable the way that others are. Can we all stand today? I really feel that God just wants to do something so precious today. Something so beautiful today. Would you take this for me? Would you close your eyes for a moment? I know in my heart that we need to lay some stuff down today. Maybe you're carrying something. Maybe there's an injustice that's been done to you. Maybe it's something that you were overlooked. Maybe you were persecuted. Maybe it was some pain that was caused. Maybe it was injustice that you saw happen to someone that you love. This is the moment. The Bible says, cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. I want to give you permission to lay that down today. I want to give you permission to lay that down today. If you have been mistreated or unjustly done, I want you to come to the altar right now. I want you to come to the altar right now, because God doesn't want you walking around with the weight of that on your shoulders, with the weight of that on your heart. God is going to do something right now where we just leave it on the altar. We're going to say, I'm going to put this, I've been done wrong, but I'm putting it on the altar. I'm putting it on God's altar today, and I am relying upon the justice of God. Just close your eyes. Just close your eyes right now. If that's you, respond. Come down here, because God doesn't want us walking out of here heavy. God wants us walking out of here with something completely different. Let me tell you today. Let me tell you today. Let me tell you today. Many people are walking around carrying a burden that Jesus never meant for you to carry. You don't have to make justice happen. I want to take that weight off your shoulders today. You don't have to make justice happen. You don't have to make it happen. You don't have to make it happen. You don't have to make it happen. God is going to make it happen. God can use us as instruments. God can use us as instruments. But He is the one that makes things right.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.